Hey, what's up, folks? This is Tony Brewer. You're listening to Cogitations. Cogitations is the podcast where we think about things, we contemplate them, we turn them over in our minds, and then we discuss them. Daniel chapter 7, verse 28, Daniel writes, "Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me. My countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart." Now, we're not going to keep the matter in our heart. We're going to talk about it. And today, we're going to talk about boycotting. One of my good friends asked me if I wouldn't do a cogitations episode about boycotting. I was like, you know what? I will. I don't know, though, that I have a whole lot to say about it. I guess I would talk momentarily about the principle of it. I mean, it's not governed by God, so there's no legislation specifically about boycotting. I think we need to be very careful when we talk about should and should nots publicly. I think we need to talk about should and should nots publicly. In other words, should a Christian boycott? Should a Christian not boycott? I think that's a good conversation to have, but we need to be careful that we don't morph should and should not into is and is not. In other words, changing or morphing the conversation from should a Christian boycott into must or is a Christian required to boycott, I should say. And instead of should a Christian not boycott, is it a sin if a Christian does boycott or does not boycott? I don't know. I think I really messed that up, but you get the idea. We need to be careful when we're talking about topics like this. And as a figure of speech, we don't need to mix up our should and should nots with our is and is nots. So this conversation is not about is and is not. I don't think that I can speak with any kind of authority and tell you that you must boycott a certain group of people or you must not boycott a certain group of people. I think that you have to be fully persuaded in your own mind. Now, that being said, there is a passage of scripture that comes to mind in the book of Hebrews. Now, we're lifting this out of its context and applying it in principle to the 21st century. So I'm just going to deal with that. Listen to it. Here we go. I'll get it in a minute. Therefore, leaving the discussion, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. "But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." I need to tell you, my friends, I have been privy to and part of conversations with grown adults professing Christ who don't have enough discernment to tell the difference between good and evil when they're looking directly at it. We have to, by reason of use, have our senses exercised to the discernment of good and evil. So, I guess now would be a good time for me to throw my my QR codes up here. If you've listened this far and you're probably going to hang around to the end, bear with me just a moment. www.buymeacoffee.com/Christianity Now is a way to give a one-time donation to the podcast that helps me and Aaron out. You can catch me and Aaron Dotson on Christianity Now, 2x2, Cogitations, and my personal Facebook page at 10 Eastern or 10 Central, 11 Eastern. And we have a conversation about contemporary issues that's facing the Lord's church. We probably ought to have done the boycotting on that episode, but I'm going to share with you my thoughts about it anyway. You can click the QR code on your screen. I'm not going to leave it up very long, but it's there. Now, let's get back to boycotting. www.patreon.com/Christianity Now lets you donate a monthly amount, as little as a dollar. Buy Me a Coffee is a minimum of $5, but it's just a one-time donation. Christianity Now's Patreon, www.patreon.com/Christianity Now, is a is by the well, the Patreon's monthly. It's a dollar or less, and, or it's as little as a dollar. And Buy Me a Coffee is $5. Now I'm done talking about that. The boycotts. I've been privy and I've been part of conversations with grown folks who just don't have the ability to discern good and evil. And what prompted the question about the boycotting is the Target. There's a retail sales organization, a retailer in the United States called Target. They're kind of like a bougie Walmart. And what they have decided to do and this is why I think the boycott is justified. Remember, my cogitations are not necessarily organized. You're just getting them as I have them. This is just my flow of consciousness. It's not that you have a retail organization that because their main goal is making a buck, that they happen to have products that Christians would find repulsive. Okay, if I go into Walmart as a Christian, I am conscientiously and morally objecting to, based on God's law, the consumption of beverage alcohol. And even in areas of the country that have blue laws, even the areas of the country that are dry, most of the time you can find at least beer in Walmarts, in just about any grocery store. As a Christian, I find that morally reprehensible. Does that mean that I'm going to boycott that store? Well, no, because we've got to live in this world. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and I want to share with you a principle here. If you'll remember, 1 Corinthians chapter 5 is the church discipline. Is the church discipline chapter where a man was living with his, you know, some scholars say that this man was living with his mother, his biological mother, and having sex with her. I don't know that I agree with that, but that certainly wouldn't so much as be named among the heathen. I think probably what he had done is he had married a woman that's not related to him that his father put away, and that's still icky and probably is not like that. That would be strange amongst the heathen. But Paul is saying, look, you got to get rid of this guy. If he's not going to repent, you got to get rid of him. But listen to what he said in verse 9 of 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. The King James says fornicators, which is a much better translation. Verse 10. Yet I certainly did not mean with sexually immoral people of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or idolaters. So in other words, I didn't mean that you shouldn't keep company with wicked people of the world. Because if that's the case, then you would need to go out of the world. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral or covetous, or an idolater, or a reviler, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. Listen, that's a pretty good list of terminable offenses when it comes to Christianity. If you have people in your congregation who fit this bill, you shouldn't keep company with them. Let me share with you something funny. I'm going to look up the definition of boycott. Boycott definition. The definition of boycott is to withdraw from commercial or social relations with a country, an organization, or person as a punishment or protest. Do you understand church discipline is a boycott? As the word is used, church discipline is a boycott. You withdraw from a social relation with a person as a punishment or protest of their actions, with the implication that you are desirous of a change in the object of your boycott or discipline or withdrawal. I think that's very interesting. Anyway, That being said, where was I? Oh, yeah. We don't hold people in the world up to the same standard. So when I go into Walmart and I see an aisle full of booze, I'm not going to clutch my pearls and say, Christians should not shop at Walmart, because we've got to function in this world. I mean, I suppose we could be like the Amish and separate from the world as much as we can, but look at where that gets them. They have so many, I'm not talking about doctrinally. I'm not talking about problems with the church of the Amish that's issues of doctrine, organization and such. I'm just talking about the moral and ethical corruption that is inside the Amish people. And if you don't think that's true, you just go spend some time with them. They are buffeted by the same issues that every other group in society is buffeted with. So we could leave, we could come out of the world as far as we can, but if in order to altogether not have any contact with fornicators, covetous people, immoral people, idolaters, revilers, drunkards, or extortioners, then we wouldn't be able to interact with the world at all. We would have to transcend this realm of existence. Now, for the Christian, there's a day where that's going to come. It's whenever the second coming happens and we are resurrected and meet Jesus in the air forever to remain there with him. So, yeah, we've got to be careful about how far we take this. Now, does that mean that a boycott is not sometimes called for? So I think it is. I don't think that means that. I think that a Christian can, and perhaps might even in some point, have a justified duty to boycott a particular organization. Why would I say that? Well, think about what's going on with Target. Target is not just a company in the world that is stocking products that Christians would find reprehensible. They are actually taking a stand. They are activist. They are no longer morally neutral. They have actively taken a stand. They have been activated. The liberal left in the United States and Western culture has activated them, and they are putting clothes and products and displaying them in such a way as to entice children down a road that triangulates them from their parents, that diminishes parental authority, that erodes God's standard for marriage and the home and gender and sexuality, and they are telling you, this is why we're doing this. In other words, they're not saying, look, we're in the world, what do you expect? They're saying we're actively taking a stance and setting ourselves against Christianity. Now, they're not using the word Christianity, but do they have to? Think about that. Do they have to? What if I did this? What if as a business owner I said, all races and creeds and demographics are welcome in my business, except those people who don't have to use sunscreen on a hot day? Well, wait a second. I didn't say anything about I'm discriminating against black people or brown people. But did I have to? You know what I'm getting at, right? So think about that. Now, what does a boycott accomplish? Well, it accomplishes the same thing that church discipline accomplishes. In fact, I guess it'd be all right to go to the passage of Scripture that we all go to for church discipline, which is 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Verse, let's see, hold on a second. Yeah, let's go here. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this: if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you disorderly, in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such, we command you and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quiet. Where am I? Is it verse 6? It is verse 6. I told you, I don't rehearse these. But we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received of us. Well, what would be the purpose of this withdrawal? Well, let's go on down. If anyone, this is verse 14 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. If anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. So, again, a boycott of an organization serves the same purpose as a boycott of an individual, a withdrawal of fellowship from an individual. And it doesn't work if only one person does it. There's an interesting article on Christianity.com, and I, look, take all this with a grain of salt, but I read the article just because, and I'll share a little bit with you right now. I think it has a pretty good perspective. Boycotting is never mentioned in the Bible, yet we can use what we have learned from the Bible to form an ethic over this matter. Nothing is wrong with boycotting, as it is peaceful and respectful. Boycotting is extremely popular and common in the modern day. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines boycotting as to engage in a concerted refusal to have dealings with a person, a store, an organization, etc., usually to express disapproval or to force acceptance of certain conditions. Now, I read this is the Merriam-Webster. The definition I read was from the Oxford English Dictionary. Both are fine, and both are valid usages of the term. Individuals boycott a variety of different things, such as brands, people, or causes. With the popularity of boycotting in the modern day, it is helpful to know what the Bible says about boycotting. So what does the Bible say? Well, the Bible never mentions boycotts, nor does the Bible tell us to participate in boycotting or not. Since the Bible doesn't tell us directly about the ethics behind boycotts, many individuals think the Bible is silent on this issue. Well, even though the Bible never directly discusses the topic of boycotting, does not mean it is silent on the issue. Many issues are never spoken about in the Bible, such as drugs or living together before marriage, yet we can still find the answer to those questions in the Bible. Now, as a caveat, as an interjection, I do not believe the Bible is silent about drugs and living together. I believe the Bible explicitly addresses drugs and living together, but we won't get into that. Paul tells us that all scriptures God breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work, 1 Timothy 3:16, 17. God wants us to have unity in every matter as the body of believers. That's Romans 12, 18. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. In fact, I put forth to you that it's the body of believers needs to have peace with the community at large. You think about that for a moment. If Romans 12, 18 applies to the individual, it applies to the whole church, of the whole congregation. So you need to have peace with the community at large. As this passage tells us, it is important that we live at peace with others. God doesn't want us to actively stir up trouble or cause pain to others. Instead, he wants us to live at peace with others and seek unity with our fellow believers. And again, not unity as in unity of fellowship of spirit or unity of spirit, but we need to have some kind of cohesion, probably is a better term than unity. We need to have some cohesion with our community. Okay? That's the church is almost worthless if there's not some kind of cohesion with the community. if the church has no cohesion with the community, then the church is not doing anything. The church is not really being effective in the community. All right. Ephesians 4, 3 through 6. Make every effort to keep the community of the Spirit through through the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. That's Ephesians 4, 3 through 6. Thus, we should strive for unity and peace with others. Look, Christianity.com, I don't think, is a very deep exegetical source. We're just reading this as kind of a guide to our thoughts. So let's talk about peaceful boycotting. They talk about Martin Luther King Jr. Martin Luther King Jr. was a monumental figure during the civil rights movement. He used his voice to speak up for equality and peace. King took part in boycotts and protests, yet they were always peaceful, and he utilized scripture. Everything Martin Luther King Jr. protested was in conformity with God's word. He took a stance for peaceful protest. Not once did King advocate for violence, as his protests were focused on being nonviolent and peaceful. In this way, what King was doing was in no way unbiblical. Everything he did was peaceful and nonviolent and advocated for equality. If Christians choose to boycott, they need to do so in a way reflective of Martin Luther King Jr. and choose to practice peace, equality, and nonviolence. Even though the Bible doesn't speak directly about boycotting, we can use what we have learned from the Bible to form our ethics surrounding boycotting. There is nothing wrong with boycotting as long as it is peaceful and nonviolent. All right. Christians can participate in boycotting, such as boycotting unethical practices or practices that go against the Bible. It is good for Christians to take a stance against these organizations and unethical practices, such as boycotting sweatshops. Now, does anybody think that sweatshops are okay? I don't. I think we personally ought to get rid of slave labor, which is what a sweatshop is in essence. Well, a few stores that utilize sweatshops are Adidas, Nike, Old Navy, H&M, Forever 21, Ross, TJ Maxx, incidentally, Patagonia, North Face. Just about all of those designer brands that you really, really love, whenever you buy them, you're perpetuating slave labor, which is why I find it really interesting that people in the United States are pearl-clutched about slavery and stuff like that, yet they just keep putting their money down. Oh, I've got an iPhone, but I think slave labor is bad. I drive an electric car, but I think slave labor is bad. Okay. Anyway. That's an aside. As Christians, we should boycott these organizations because they are unethical. We can boycott these stores by not purchasing items from them and educating others about their unethical practices. Listen, that is a good rule of thumb. Christians, if we lived out our ethics the way God's morality is supposed to influence them, then yeah, we would be very careful about where we shop. All right, I'm gonna go on the way down. Let me go. Okay, why does this matter? Thus, boycotting is never mentioned in the Bible, yet we can use what we have learned from the Bible to form an ethic over this matter. Nothing is wrong with boycotting as long as it's peaceful and respectful. Christians do not need to be involved in violent or hurtful boycotts because God doesn't want us to be involved in these practices. God hates violence. I don't know that I would say that, but I'll read it as it's written. God hates violence, and he does not want us to adhere to violent practices. Sadly, many boycotts and protests become violent and can cause injuries or even deaths, like the Summer of Love 2020 of the George Floyd Black Lives Matter riots, and us, the left-wing liberal ideologues called it the peaceful protest, the mostly peaceful protest. These types of violent boycotts and protests only cause harm, and no good can result from violence. Instead, in any boycotts or protests we decide to be involved in, we need to make sure they are peaceful, nonviolent. God calls us his own, which means we are representatives on earth of him. Paul tells us, we are therefore... Oh, I'm not reading that. That verse doesn't apply to us. Okay. I'm not going to link this. It's not worth linking. I think it was good for the podcast, but I'm not going to link it to where other people can read it, because I don't want anybody to think I'm putting my stamp of approval on such drivel. There was some decent things in there. So the idea about boycotting, it's got to be peaceful. It's got to be nonviolent. And I would say that, at least for me, the line of where I would actually boycott a company is if they actively take a stance. If they're just passively being like the world because they're in the world, you know what? The world is a sinful place. Like, I'm not going to boycott Walmart because they have an aisle of booze. I'm not going to boycott Walmart because they have shirts and clothes that are not what I think people ought to be wearing. But Walmart is not actively taking a stance. Incidentally, I'll never buy a Ford truck. I might buy a used Ford truck, but because Ford has taken an active stance, then I'm not going to buy a brand new one ever, because they've taken an active stance with this LGBTQ stuff. I'm going to vote with my money, and I would hope that every Christian in the world would vote with their money, because here's the thing, and the devil's greatest weapon against Christians is triangulation, making Christians think they're alone. So you got a little congregation in Northwest Arkansas, Northeast Arkansas, in Northern Alabama, in you know, the deep, deep heart of Georgia, in North Georgia in the mountains. Well, you're thinking, well, what in the world can we do? We're just 40 people. Target's not going to miss our money. You would be surprised. You would be surprised. Think about this. Since it has come out in the news that Target has been a transgender activist and they've thrown their hat into that ring, they have lost $8 billion in market cap. And the numbers haven't even come out yet as to how bad it's going to be. Bud Light has lost like 30% of their market share. Now, if you're a Christian, you ought not be buying Bud Light. But I'm just letting you know how powerful it is for people to vote with their feet. And that is the only way we're going to get through to these corporations. Now, should Christians be concerned with this? I put forth to you the answer is yes. As Christians, we have to affect the world. How can we affect the world? Well, we can affect the world through the institution of the family. We can get married, we can stay married, and we can have children. We can affect the world through the institute of government. We can, and at least in the United States of America and Canada, we can cast our ballot for people who will promote Western culture, Judeo-Christianity, Western culture, all right? And we can affect the world through the institution of the church. We can evangelize. We can preach and teach the gospel. All right. Now, you're thinking, well, Tony, it didn't sound like you mentioned boycotting there. I didn't. But boycotting falls within the parameters of the family. If you want to affect the world through the institution of the family, make sure that you and yours never spends another dollar at Target. Tell your wife, say, hey, I'm going to get you a credit card. I'm going to get you a Sears and Roebuck card. Well, I don't know if you get a Sears and Roebuck. I'm going to get you a JCPenney's card. I'm going to get you a Walmart credit card. And all we're going to do is just cut up our Target credit card. Listen, it won't be long before these people understand. And it's already a trope. It's already known. They're getting it. Go woke. Get woke, rather. Go broke. People are already understanding, and we need to keep it up. We are winning the culture war. People with values and alignment with Christianity are winning the culture war. So let's keep it up. Look, we're not going to go to Target and buy anything. And, I mean, I hope that none of these other companies, like I hope Walmart doesn't come out and be like, we are now LGBTQAAIP Two-Spirit Plus activist. If they do, we're going to have to find some little mom and pop shop. It's going to be more expensive. It's going to be a little bit of a sacrifice. But in World War II, whenever Germany was close to taking over the entire world, people got involved in the culture war because that's what it was. I mean, yes, it was all-out war, but it was a war for the world. And this is just a different kind of warfare. And so what happened? Well, people meat rationed, they rubber rationed, they steel rationed, they had gas rations, all kinds of stuff that they gave up. They had Liberty Gardens where they would grow a lot of their food in their backyard. I mean, it was an amazing time where we sacrificed for the greater good. And I just wonder if we've lost that. I wonder if we've lost that ethos, that culture in the Lord's church. Maybe we need to sacrifice for the greater good. Look, I know it's great going to Target, man. Target's a wonderful store. But they are telling you that they hate you. I think about Jeremy Boring with like Jeremy's Razors. Harry's Razors came out and said, we're not going to sponsor or use pour our advertising dollars into the Daily Wire because their ethics don't align with ours. And so Jeremy started Jeremy's Razor Company and beating the pants off of them. And he's just saying, look, they're actively and openly telling you they hate you. Why are you giving them money? They're going to keep doing that as long as you keep giving them money. Now, kudos for him. He has an alternative. So if you were using Harry's razor subscription, you can just swap over to Jeremy's and you get just as good, maybe better razors. I think about her, he, him chocolate bars, Jeremy chocolate. Is pure chocolate. He, him has nuts. And it's because of what Hershey's did with a transgender person, a man, a biological man dressed up as a woman for National Women's Month. And so Jeremy started Jeremy's Chocolate. And he said, look, we're just going to tell these people, we're not going to keep giving you money as long as you keep promising us that you hate us. With Target, Target is saying, if you go into Target with your little five-year-old girl, Target is telling you that they want to take your five-year-old little girl and they want to do a double mastectomy when she gets old enough, before age 18, by the way, and eventually they want to take a big chunk of flesh from her forearm and make a pseudo phallus and make it look like a penis. They're telling your little boy that they want to put him on puberty blockers to keep him from maturing into a man. And eventually they want to give that little boy breast implants so he can have what looks like boobs for the perverted enjoyment of a sicko. And they want to remove his testicles, give him a wound that will never heal, that he will have to dilate for the rest of his life, or else it will close up. And the only reason to have that wound that is a pseudo vagina is, again, for the sexual pleasure of men who want to insert their penises into it. Now, look, I know this sounds bad. This sounds rough. You need to hear it because that's what Target is telling you. And Target is telling you that they are going to support and advocate for policy and politics that if your five-year-old child says, I'm a girl, and he actually is a boy, and you say, no, son, you're a boy, you're just going through a stage, that the law enforcement officers can remove that child from you and put it in foster care where that child will be transitioned. And if you think that's not happening, you're an absolute fool. and you've had your head in the sand. It's happening and has happened in the United States, and it's happening with greater frequency. It's happening with greater frequency. We're not even going to talk about Canada. So yeah, I think this is a little more than, well, Walmart has beer, so we're not going to buy from Walmart. Look, I understand we've got to live in this world and we cannot come out of the world. But when a company like Target is telling you, look, we actively hate you if you think a man is a man, is a woman is a woman and cannot change, and we're going to actively work against you to harm your children, why would you continue to give them money? We need to stand together and we need to win this culture war. And that's all I've got. This has been Tony Brewer with Cogitations. If you like what we do and want to help us out, remember, one-time donation at www.buymeacoffee.com/Christianity Now. And if you want to do a monthly reoccurring donation of as little as a dollar a month, www.patreon.com/Christianity Now. Please subscribe, Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, and we will catch you on the flip side.